riches at Christ's expense. Okay, you've heard that or something like it. Okay? That's a very good, succinct way to describe the grace of God, but I want you to understand there's the grace of God is multifaceted. If I can say it that way, there's many aspects to the grace of God. The grace of God is not just for salvation, even though for us that's what it starts. Okay? The grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. All right? Many times we hear grace defined as what? Short, two-word definition. Unmerited favor. There you go. Very good. Okay? Unmerited favor. In other words, favor we did not deserve or earn. Okay? That's grace. So the grace of God, in giving salvation, the grace of God is that He's given us the gift of salvation that we did nothing to earn or deserve. Okay? I saw some of my friends posting on social media this week a statement that says something to the effect that the only thing I contributed to my salvation was the sin that made it necessary. And I will agree with that as long as there's not somebody trying to put a little Calvinistic spin on it. But, I mean, as far as it goes, you know, there's some truth in what we're talking about with the grace of God. I mean, the only thing that I did was sin to make salvation necessary. I can't earn it. I can't provide it. I can't work for it. Nothing. The grace of God is simplistically God's unmerited favor towards sinful men. Okay? That is, it's undeserved. It's unearned. And any price that I could offer Him would be an insult. I mean, I want you to imagine with me, Brother Stevens is preaching down in Anderson this week, and there's a family in the church that the man is a business owner and quite successful, and his house is about 10,000 square feet, okay? So it's almost as big as Brother Bray's apartment.
So, you'll have to be patient with us.
About 10,000 square feet, okay? If I said, boy, I love this house, I would like to buy this house for you. I want to make you an offer on this house.
Brother Bill Spence.
The best offer I could make him on that house would be an insult.
But
I mean, the best offer I could possibly give him on buying this 10,000 square foot house and you know everything that goes with it, it wouldn't even be a low offer. It'd be an insulting offer.
It's going.
Okay. Well, that is a simplistic illustration maybe we can identify with. But that doesn't even really come close to saying the best offer I could give God to pay for my salvation is far, far, far more insulting. Okay? I can't do anything except
I'm not picking it up
to humble myself and say, God, I can't do anything for salvation, but I will accept the gift that you've given. That's all I can do. That's all anybody can do to say I must receive salvation as a gift. I don't deserve it, and I'll never deserve it. I'm just going to have to live with that, but I'll take it.
We may just have to go without that this morning.
That's what
be all right.
Salvation. That's the grace of God.
For a few thousand
so when you talk about the grace of God, God's riches in salvation at Christ's expense.
I hope you enjoy. We're calling
that would be the grace of God as it pertains to salvation.
Since you have the smell of wood smoke anyway, we just call it Campfire Sunday.
Okay. How many of you
come,
have either
from north of
quoted
the church,
this verse to yourself or to someone,
by,
you know, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect.
Yesterday.
You familiar with that?
Was,
you quoted it to yourself or you tried to share it with somebody else to encourage them when they're
room.
Going through a tough time. My grace
guy,
is sufficient
I know,
for
it's
thee, for my strength
to talk
is made
this
perfect
way, but
weak,
the guy that I was talking to told me it's really a luxury for them to have a two-story house.
That particular aspect of the grace of God is not dealing with salvation.
Fire department's going to burn one down.
What is that dealing with?
They don't get a lot of those.
That is dealing with how God sustains, how God enables His children.
And he said it's also a luxury for us
to go through suffering or to,
by the time we get them to
endure whatever may be the case. Okay, so the one primary aspect of grace is it's an unmerited gift. It's a free gift. And grace pertains to salvation. But the New Testament also deals a lot with grace.
And then they had
as it pertains to God's enabling.
60 guys.
Okay. Now, this
maybe
one,
more than that. Some of the guys
I'm going to give you a second acronym for grace.
Here,
if you're going to
spring,
have an acronym that would define grace to encompass all that the New Testament, you would need at least two, probably some more.
That one's voluntary.
Okay.
Even though
the first one is God's
city.
Riches at Christ's expense.
You know, so
that would deal with the salvation
here,
aspect.
Anyway,
I'm going to give you another
they
one.
They rotated everybody through, got everybody a chance to go in.
I can't get them up with a better one.
Hose and work their equipment,
okay?
All that kind of stuff.
God's
a bunch of you were here to help
just assistance,
a help, bottled water, okay, tea,
God's
lemonade, we
righteous
serve lunch,
assistance, and, Christ extends.
It may not seem like a lot,
G-R-A-C-E.
That's the kind of thing that God's that those folks and their families remember a long time.
Christ,
and when you come
extends.
Back and say, "Hey, we're from Maranatha," okay?
Oh yeah,
the key
guys,
word
you know,
there,
that,
as far as understanding the difference,
plant a seed, assistance,
and reap the harvest later.
That God said
is how that works.
If I ask you to do something for me, I will.
I appreciate
help
everybody
you do
that
it.
Contributed to that in one way
heard,
or another. But when I left here about 12:30 yesterday,
like this, God's calling.
The windows,
God's
most
enabling.
Of the windows were burned out. It's kind of interesting. They would set
heard
a fire in their glass,
years. And I thought, man,
break when it got too hot. And the windows
read,
would blow
I've read
out.
My Bible.
You know?
I've read it all the way through.
But
I've never read that.
The entire structure was still
I went
standing.
Digging around.
You know,
while it's not worded in that exact same way, that truth is all throughout the New Testament.
Burned it to the ground.
Okay. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is
anyway,
made perfect in weakness.
They did say,
most
just
gladly,
in case
therefore,
anybody,
will I rather glory in my
or,
infirmities that
or,
the power of
worry
Christ.
About anything. They said that
me.
It will smolder
that is
for
the
days.
Truth. I'm weak.
So
he's strong. When I'm weak, he can show his strength
rubble.
Through me,
it's
and I can do what he's asked me to do.
Alarm.
That's
said,
the idea in a nutshell. There are other places. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me.
I think that's why well,
the
county
faithful put him in the ministry
truck over here
okay.
so that folks will know, okay, the fire department knows about it.
What
this.
Paul was telling Timothy but, is when God put me in the ministry,
anyway,
he enabled me to do what he called.
We'll probably have the
it doesn't
wood
exist
fire
any
smell
other
for
way.
A few days
but when we talk about
so
the grace of God, why
sun,
would God extend an unmerited
so anyway,
gift, an unserved gift of salvation?
And
why would God take somebody like you or me and say, you know what?
Who are
I'm going to help you through this
instead of just watch you suffer
and their needs?
Why would God provide that assistance?
John and Crystal Boylston had gone to the Philippines
love.
For some medical
it's the love of God.
So you see why,
I know
well, of course, we could split out grace,
on their way
but you see how the grace of God, whether
so
it's in the giving of salvation or whether it's in the
Iben,
aiding of his children, is
faith,
all an outflowing of
trucks in Brazil.
God loves us, therefore he is gracious.
Italy.
God loves, therefore he is merciful. God loves, therefore he is long-suffering.
Church planters.
God loves, therefore he is good.
And then the John Schrock
so
family.
So all of these concepts here
so
are
remember each of those
concepts
in particular
related to the love of God. Similar terms
that
we could split out. We're going to lump it in together. Okay.
Did, but we
now we get to some of the application part.
Remember, Pastor today,
comforting aspects of God's
service,
love,
but
and convicting aspects.
Pastor went up to Morgantown,
right?
West Virginia.
Now,
he
you
left.
Can't come up.
He was supposed to leave around lunchtime.
A comforting aspect of God's love. Your brain,
but the
not
pastor that he worked under for a number of years,
I know you're tiring.
What are some of the
this
things that to us are comforting
in a big day to
about
honor
the love
pastor.
Of God and all the things that
so
we try to talk
Quincy
about with the love of God over the last several weeks? When it boils down
back,
to me, how does that affect me? How does that bring me comfort?
But anyway, let's pray for his safety as well.
All right, another urgent request this morning:
promises of God.
Anybody awake
this morning?
This looks like one of those mornings. Okay, I'm here. Had coffee, but
okay.
it didn't
I have hope because
okay.
of the love of God.
So we'll work on
Let's
that.
Boil it down to a really, really simple children's song, one of the first ones you ever learned.
Okay.
Yes.
Say it louder, Randy.
Dana's knee's been giving her a fit this week. Pray
Jesus
her
loves.
Relief, especially since she's supposed to leave the middle of this week.
Jesus loves
to go
even
to Pompeii.
Me. Okay.
And visit
I mean, let's
with
boil it down.
John and Krista.
Do I deserve the love of God?
And see Rich.
Well, it's easy
for
you to say no.
Well,
okay, you know.
If you pray for her. Safety there.
Do
well,
you deserve the love of God?
Pray for
if we're honest.
No.
The towns, Josh.
Okay. But the fact that God
family.
Loves me anyway
yeah, pray that the
should not be a children's concept.
On the visa situation.
That's a big deal.
The Blondos told us when they got back.
God loves
they
me.
They have to have a visa to get out of the
and
country.
Okay.
So
well,
some of the family else. Has it.
About
some
know,
of the
that
babies.
We've talked about all this stuff.
Pray,
they're supposed with the to love of God
in June, which is next month. Let's just pray the Lord works all of that out.
You remember how we talked about God? How does God exercise love?
Brother Jim Bray, why don't you word our prayer?
The love of God was given to us by
choice.
Okay, so if I'm going to apply that, then I'm going to say God has chosen to love me. He didn't have to. He chose to love me knowing what I would be. Boy, if that's not humbling, you have no sense of how we relate to God. Okay, anything else? I mean, I'm talking simple, basic. Okay, God supplies our needs. Okay, you and I are, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, so how does the love of God come into that picture for you and me? Because God loved, he provided salvation. Right? I mean, don't overlook the foundational building blocks. God loves me. God provided salvation for me. God provided salvation. I mean, these are the comforting aspects of the love of God. You know what else that means? That means you can confidently tell anybody you're going to meet this week, hey, you know what?
We've been talking about
God loves
the love of God. We've been talking about the attributes.
You don't have to wonder, well, is this really true? Is this one of the elect? Maybe God loves them, maybe he doesn't.
The love of God.
Tell anybody you meet, hey, God loves you.
Hook up for that, so we'll just let that ride for today.
Right.
But I'm give you just a little bit of a review.
Okay, here's our first.
Stevens.
Amen.
He teased me.
Okay,
but I appreciate him filling in last week.
This is where we kind of take it, and it's not just, okay, here's a bunch of things that facts, Bible facts.
Our study has been
this is how it applies to me.
This
is how it applies to you. This is how it applies to the people you'll meet this week. How about this? I don't have to try to earn God's love.
It's not grandma.
How about the grace of God being unmerited?
Grandma married.
I don't have to try to earn God's love. God loves me.
Covington,
and I don't have to try to earn it.
Which,
isn't that comforting?
Nobody knows where that is, but it's about 90.
The bottom line is we couldn't ever earn it. Okay.
Charleston,
and as we talked about hope, comfort, promises of God, answered prayer. Because God loves me, I can always turn to God when I feel like I have nowhere else.
But I'm just going to give you a little bit of a review.
Comforting aspects.
To kind of get the flow
of God. Now,
we talked about
a couple of convicting aspects.
That love is part of God's
nature. It's who he is.
We said God's love.
Not just what he does.
Is
that
God
loves. That love existed before creation.
I mean, the Father
that
loved the Son.
So let's apply that to us.
And love existed before the creation of the world.
To love others.
We talked about
whether I see them as lovable.
How that God's love abides forever. How that God's love
that
is perfect.
We talked about three words in the Bible that are used for love.
The main word that's used for God's love
is what word?
You know, you love most of your family.
Okay?
But there's that
you've
one relative, that, usually
you
on
know,
your
most of your life
side,
if you've been in church.
And
the word means love. But
by
the New
Testament
usage, we understand that God's
love,
or that agape love, is defined as a selfless interest
you run into
in the well-being of the object,
mall,
at store,
with
at
no
station,
demand,
whether they look like the
or
people that you invite over for dinner or not.
It's God completely loves. Selfless love.
I must choose
in the love
of love,
not
right, related to that.
For
I must show God's
that
kind of
the
love
of God is a choice. We talked about
the objects of God's love.
Romans 5 verse 5 says,
"The love of God
the Father, God so loved the world."
Well, if that's
God
really going to be
Israel,
true, I have to show not selfish love.
God loves
love,
his children. God loves righteousness.
God
loves
love.
A cheerful,
agape
giver.
Love.
Right?
Someone,
a
love that's completely
about the love of God, and there's certainly a ton
for me
to look at. And we left off last time talking
God's
about
God's
love,
God's kind of love.
Of God's love. One misunderstanding is universalism.
That is,
while God's love
that
is universal,
he loves
everybody,
everybody
universally,
loves the world.
Or
he has chosen us,
everybody will eventually
to be the messengers
be
of his
saved.
Love because
salvation.
How could a loving God?
His love is universal, but salvation,
okay,
that is
a
not
misunderstanding
automatically
of God's love.
Okay? God,
we
loves
must share the love
sinners,
of God,
right?
And then
if he didn't,
must
none
receive
of us
have
it.
Shot. God so loved right. the world that he gave his
God's
own
love
son,
does not okay? include
but
overlooking sin.
We also read and spent a little time on the fact that
God
sometimes
God
is merciful and give us all that we deserve.
Remember
we
David when he
God's
numbered
holiness.
The people.
And so God gave him
to
his
say,
choice
well,
of
God
punishment
loves sinners.
And even stopped the punishment short
the,
of what
the,
it
the misunderstanding that
but
says,
God's
well, how can a
love
God
doesn't mean that
hell?
He will never chasten
means
his children.
That God values which one more highly.
I think
this is a big key for us.
Or righteousness.
Look
if God
me at
loves
1
you
John
too much
chapter
to send
2.
You to hell, that means God
most
loves
you probably still
the sinner
first
more than he loves righteousness because he's
not,
going to choose
1 John chapter
2.
Right?
God okay. loves righteousness.
I want you to see this with
me. I mean, that is his standard. He will not violate his nature. So
love
say,
not
well,
the
a
world.
1
John chapter 2,
hell,
verse
so ultimately
15.
Everybody universally
2,
will be saved.
Love not the world. Neither the
love.
Things that are in
we're
the world.
About how Calvin,
if any man loves the world,
said God
the love of the Father
is
God
not in
chooses
him.
What's
who
in
goes
the world?
To heaven and who
all
goes
is in
to
the world.
The lust of the
whether
flesh,
directly or
indirectly.
Indirectly.
That's
pride
a misunderstanding of God's
simple
love.
Terms.
Bodily
okay.
desires.
God so loved the world.
Proud desires.
Gave,
God is not willing that any should
the
perish.
The desires of
all
mind,
should come to repentance.
Desire for fame, fortune, wealth, all those kind of
Bible
things.
Words.
Pride of life.
Lust
those
of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life.
Say that, well, God really just
that's,
chose
that
certain ones.
That sums up simply what is in the world.
Of God's love.
All in
the
world, lust
of
the eyes, pride
of life.
One of the buzzwords
is not of the
our society and
of the world.
Politics.
So
our
I'm going to give
this is a convicting aspect of God's love
okay.
by application.
Tolerance.
If I love the world,
or what is in the world,
as we looked at 1 John 2,
being kind towards someone who disagrees with you, tolerating maybe behavior
if you love
that irritates
all
you
that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life.
The love of God is not being manifested.
How is tolerance defined in our culture?
You can be saved, you can be a child of God.
We're not truly showing the love of God if we're loving the world. Christians must tolerate the perversion that we want to cram down your throat, and we don't have to tolerate religion.
That's scripture.
The most intolerant people in America right now, feel good aspects of the love of God and not make other application,
we will never refuse to tolerate
Christianity. They refuse to tolerate the Bible. They refuse to allow us to have a differing opinion.
I must love what God loves.
I personally don't know anybody or know of anybody that went on a search. I'm going to find somebody that's gay and I'm going to shoot them.
That's something we're going to be working on until he takes us home and perfects us in glory.
Okay?
But if we're going to be his children and show him the love of God,
that we must love what God loves.
But it's portrayed as though you're not allowed. You must accept this.
Lord, thank you for your love.
Freedom of religion, as it was enshrined in our Constitution, has been perverted to freedom from religion.
You know, really,
and what I pray this week,
if you want to know the truth of the matter,
with someone,
but that is a misunderstanding of God's love. Just like universalism says, well, everybody will be saved.
Say, well, if you're a Christian and God is loving, then you must be tolerant.
Again, it's to say I must tolerate things that God says are wicked. And God does not tolerate sin in that sense. He's long-suffering, which we're going to talk about this morning, but he doesn't tolerate it in the sense of overlooking it or putting up with it or saying it somehow okay. All right? So misunderstandings of God's love. And then we're going to look at the last thing on our outline under God's love is concepts related to God's love. Okay? Concepts related to God's love. If you're actually keeping the outline, this would be small letter K, you know, under number 8. All right. If you're not keeping that, don't worry about it. Okay. But concepts related to God's love. All right. There are related terms that are used in the Bible. We're going to look at several. All right. I'm going to ask some of you to read some scripture this morning. So let's get rolling here. All right. Doc, would you get Exodus 33 for me? Exodus 33, verse 16. Harvey, are you able to read for us? All right, Exodus 34, 6. Just a chapter over there. Okay, Michael, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. And then Brother Jim, Psalm 100, verse number 5. All right, the first thing that we're going to look at, a concept related to the love of God, is God's goodness. His goodness. Okay? The goodness of God is, you know, if you try to look it up in a dictionary or like a Bible dictionary or lexicon, it's going to tell you moral goodness or pleasantness. Kindness would be a related term. Benevolence or giving. All right? But I want you to see that when it comes to goodness, the Bible describes this as part of the nature of God. It's related to the fact that God is loving. All right, Exodus 33, verse 16.
For wherein shall it be known to hear that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth.
All right, and then chapter 34, verse number 6, Harvey. You see there, you remember Exodus 34, the passage that Harvey just read, that's where Moses begged God, please show me your glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Okay? God said, basically, you can't handle it. I'm paraphrasing it. That's what God told Moses. You can't handle it, but I'm going to let you see a little bit of my back parts. Well, when God passed by, this was what was proclaimed. All right, God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. Well, we agree that that's part of who God is. Okay? Well, then towards the end of the verse, abundant in goodness and truth. Goodness is a part of the nature of God. It's related to God's love. God's love manifests itself in goodness. Okay? That's a related concept. Michael, you got 2 Chronicles 5:13? Speak up good and loud so those that are behind you can hear you.
Thank you.
Okay, this is the dedication of the temple. Solomon is dedicating the house that he's built to the Lord, and they proclaim he is good, his mercy endures forever. And at that point, the cloud representing the presence of God filled the temple. Psalm 100, verse 5. The Lord is good. Okay? It's related to the love of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Okay? The goodness of God is related to the love of God. I mean, we could split this out and have a list of attributes of God, you know, even longer. But goodness is an outpouring, if you will, of the love of God. There's an Old Testament word, there's a New Testament word, but it means, you know, in its basic sense, kindness, benevolence, and moral goodness. God only approves of those things which are good. The evening and the morning, he created the night, separated the light from the darkness, and saw that it was good. Okay, there was a moral goodness to it as well as it was good. That's the idea, right? So you have here, the goodness of God is related to the love of God. All right? In the New Testament, it's the same thing. Okay? You have that over and over again. All right? Now, also related to the love of God is the mercy of God. All right? Let's see here. Brother Steve, would you read Ephesians 2, verse 4? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Zach, you got your Bible there? James 5 and verse 11. Okay? Now, mercy, we could spend a long time looking at this. But the mercy of God, okay? When we think mercy, we think, I mean, in the strictest sense, when you think mercy, what do you think of? All right, this is where you speak back, okay, and participate in Sunday school, all right? Okay, something I don't deserve. Okay, mercy is usually related to punishment or judgment. Okay, great. Okay, so when we think of mercy, we think of goodness or kindness in relation to something we've done. So if I need mercy, what does that say about me? I've been bad. Right, exactly. If you need mercy, that means we're sinful. Okay, but we frequently connect it. And of course, mercy has the idea of to be lenient in judgment or to withhold judgment or punishment. All right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, Brother Steve.
God, who is rich in mercy,
with
his great love, wherewith he loved us.
Amen. God is rich in mercy. James chapter 5, verse number 11. You got that, Zach? Okay, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. That is connected by James to the story of Job, when God in the end restored Job. Okay, but not only is mercy a demonstration of leniency when punishment is deserved, mercy also has the idea of God's compassion. Okay, tender mercies, you've read that phrase in your Bible. Okay, the tender mercies of God has the idea of compassion. Okay. Again, goodness, kindness, compassion, maybe pity, okay, concern expressed for someone in need, or, you know, in the case of judgment, they're in need of judgment and kindness is extended. But the mercy of God is certainly related to the love of God. God is loving, therefore he is merciful, or the fact that God is merciful is an outgrowth or a fruit of the love of God, right? So, God, we see his goodness. We see his mercy. Here's another one that is related to that I think we can all identify with. That is long-suffering. Andrew, I read Romans 2, 4, if you would. Jared, Romans 9, verse 22. Okay. Let's see here. Brother Mike, Galatians 5, verse 22. Then we'll all turn to 1 Peter. We'll have several in 1 and 2 Peter. All right? Romans 2 and verse 4, Andrew. The riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Okay? Romans 9 and verse 22. Now that's a very familiar verse to people that like to argue for Calvinism. The vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. They want to argue who fitted them for destruction. Let me just give you a spoiler alert. They fitted themselves for destruction. That's what the Greek grammar says. It's a middle voice that the subject did it, and also they brought the result on themselves. Okay, but in that, in talking about those that were ultimately headed for destruction, Paul, again, in making that argument, talks about God's long-suffering. That God wasn't just anxious to destroy them, but that God was long-suffering with those who were fitting themselves for destruction, who were continuing down a path that was going to result in destruction. All right? Brother Mike, Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. All right, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 20. 1 Peter 3, verse number 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Okay, how long was that? 120 years, okay? So long-suffering, okay? Now, some of you could come up with, I would guess, some humorous examples of long-suffering or suffering long, okay? For some, I mean, for Brother Jim, he would really enjoy, you know, a symphony orchestra concert. For some of you to have to sit through that would be long-suffering, right? Okay? I mean, we could come up with some others. For some of you, to go to a football game or a baseball game would be awesome. If it's the team that you want to see and it's an important game. For others, that's long-suffering to have to sit through that, right? But the idea of long-suffering means remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome, or patience, endurance. All right, the idea here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Now, in other words, God was suffering, or he was, I will say it this way, humoring mankind. But the long-suffering of God is basically another way to say the patience of God. That God puts up with us for a longer period of time. For us, sometimes it's stated as forbearance, okay, that we're to forbear when we're provoked. That's the idea, is to put up with something that is a provocation, to be patient and to not immediately respond. Okay, so for us, that's a lot harder. But, you understand, during the 120 years that Noah was building the ark, was God being provoked? This means yes, this means no, this means I'm blind. Okay? Yes, God was being provoked by man's sin. Okay, not only that, God was designing an instrument of salvation which was being at the same time ridiculed by everybody around. Mocked. I mean, Jude and Peter talk about the mockers that existed in the day of Noah. God is bringing salvation in a physical sense, and it's being mocked by the very men that could be saved if they would listen. Okay? That is the long-suffering of God, the patience that he endures our provocations when we sin against him. Right? That why? Because he loves us. Right? So mercy and goodness and long suffering are terms that are related to the love of God. Right, I'm going to give you another one. Okay? Let's look, you're in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look across the page at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold, what? Grace of God. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look over verse number 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I've written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true